book of Philippians, chapter number 3 in the Word of God. And I want to read from one of the great chapters in God's Word, just one verse, action-packed, full of content, and quite appropriate for this day. Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Let the church say amen. Father, I pray, God, in these next few moments that we have together, that this would not just be a gathering by rote or an assembly that we do just to say we did it. But I pray, God, this moment that you might change us. I pray, God, that you might mold us into being more like you. Now, we've heard singing this morning, all the praise is yours. We've heard singing this morning, worthy is the Lamb. We've heard singing this morning that nothing can separate us from your love. We are forgiven forever. And then, Lord, we've heard singing that forever you're lifted up on high. We sing hallelujah. Now, Lord, as we climb up, Lord, and ascend into worship this morning, help us, Lord, not to just go up in worship, but help us to leave here going up in our walk with you. And I pray, God, that as your vessel, you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Without a doubt, the greatest display, the most magnificent depiction, the loudest articulation of the power of God that's ever, ever been seen was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else greater that has happened in all of history. Nothing else that man can boast about when we're talking about magnificence and glory than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope that we don't get so caught up in the outfits and the food and the candy and the bunnies that we forget about the resurrection. You see, no man has ever been beaten and bruised like Jesus. No one has ever been brutalized and belittled like Jesus. You go back to the cross and you think about the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet and the crown that they coronated his head with. You think about the spear in his side, the whip that burrowed his back. You think about the beard that was plucked out and those that were crying by way of mobs, crucify him, crucify him. You think about the mockery of those that were religious. You think about being punched in the face and ridiculed, and after all of that, being placed in a borrowed tomb. But 3 days later, he rose again with resurrection power. And my friend, there's nothing greater than what happened on that day. I, for one, am thankful, even though most that celebrate don't know what it's about. I'm thankful that the calendar sets aside a day called Easter. I'm thankful that even those of us who know what it's all about on the 364 other days of the year, I'm thankful that we can come together on a Sunday like this and take away from our busy schedules and emphasize more than we do normally and talk about more than we do regularly and preach about and praise about more than we do on a consistent basis about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, folks don't get up out the grave on a regular basis. Folks don't rise again like Jesus did. No other religion has a risen leader. No other cult has a risen leader. Muhammad didn't rise. Buddha didn't rise. The Pope won't rise. You and I can't rise on our own. But up from the grave, Jesus rose. There's nothing like resurrection power. You go to the tomb in Jerusalem today, he's not there. You went to the tomb on that first Easter morning, he wasn't there. Let me tell you, I don't care what the myths say. I don't care what the doubters say. I don't care what the skeptics say. I don't care what the dissenters say. He's not there. Amen. He won't be back there. By the way, he died one time and he's not going to die again. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. When he died once, he died enough for the sins of the whole world. There's still room at the cross. Whosoever will, let him come. The blood still flows because he died. He was buried. And he rose again. There's nothing like resurrection power. Paul said, he's not there. But Paul in Philippians chapter 3 said, I'm still here. Jesus is in heaven. The work has been accomplished. The tomb is empty. The stone was rolled away. The risen Savior is alive. Folks, he's not there, but we're still here. And every day we've got to fight this wicked flesh. Amen. We got to wrestle against this lying devil. We got to live outside in an ungodly world. Sin is on every hand. The devil knows that he hath but a short time. The world cannot understand spiritual things because they are carnally minded and they walk after the flesh. Yet you and I have been saved by the grace of God. And we're opening our Bible in Philippians chapter 3 and we're looking at a man who was a religious zealot. He was a protege prime in Judaism. He was skilled. He was smart. He was advanced. He was going somewhere, but something happened in his life. He met that Savior who had risen from the dead, and his life would never ever be the same. He got a new home. He got a new master. He got a new life. He got a new Lord. He got a new goal. He got a new objective. He got a new everything. Paul said, I appreciate the historical event called the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he got up. I'm glad the nails couldn't keep him. I'm glad the spear couldn't keep him. I'm glad the soldiers couldn't keep him. I'm glad the stone couldn't keep him. I'm glad the devil couldn't keep him. I'm glad that hell couldn't keep him. I'm glad that he rose again. And I'm thankful for resurrection power. But Paul said, I need more than just to celebrate the historical event of resurrection power. He said, in my worship, in my singing, in my living, in my giving, in my going, in my serving, in my battling, in my warring, in my praising, in my shouting, I don't just need that power to get Jesus out the grave. I need that power in my life every day. He said, I'm thankful for resurrection power in Jesus. But this morning, I want to challenge us about this thought, resurrection power in me. Amen. I'm glad that the power didn't run out at the cross. I'm glad that the power didn't run out when the last word of scripture was inspired. I'm glad that the power wasn't just available to get Jesus out of the grave. I'm glad that in between salvation and the rapture, I'm glad that in between earth and heaven, I'm glad that in between the day that I met him and the day that I see him, I'm glad that in between the day I was born again and the day I will put on incorruption, I'm glad that I've not been left on planet earth to fight the devil by myself, to beat this flesh by myself, to conquer this world by myself. I'm glad that every day I can wake up with hope for the life. I can wake up with joy in sorrow, peace in the midst of the storm, because the resurrection power wasn't just for Jesus, it's for me. Now, three things very quickly. How resurrection power can be for me. Number one, personal experience. Now, Paul said, I knew a lot before I got saved, but it never got me power. Come on now. He said, I knew a lot before I got saved, but it never got me power. He said, but now that I'm saved, wait a minute now, now that I'm saved, that means I know Jesus Christ for the full pardon of my sin. But in order to enjoy resurrection power, he says, I've got to have a personal experience with him that I may know him. Please, beloved, he's not talking about a mere intellectual comprehension. He's not talking about big book knowledge. He's not talking about the depths of academia. He's not talking about memorizing scripture. He's not just talking about knowing Bible stories. He's not just talking about singing in the choir. He's talking about a real experiential, a real intimate connection, a real in-depth communion, a real impacting cultivation that I may know him. I'm afraid we know the lyrics, but we don't know the Lord. We know the song, but we don't know the Savior. Come on now. We know the music, but we don't know the Master. We've experienced redemption, but we've not embraced the Redeemer. Listen to me, beloved. We know the holiday, but we don't know the Holy One. Listen to me now. We know the verses, amen, but we don't know the vitality in the verses. We know the scenes, but we don't know the subject. Listen to me. I'm telling you, if you want power in your life, and I know Christians who don't have any power, they're saved, but their prayers can't go anywhere. They're saved, but they can't conquer temptation. They're saved, but they can't get victory over besetting sin. They're saved, but they keep going back like the pig does to the mud and the dog to the vomit. Maybe the reason why you come to church 3 times a week, you read through your Bible every year. Maybe the reason why you've been saved for all these years. Maybe the reason why you've got more scripture than most people have memorized, but you still can't get victory in your life, is because you know about him. You know the things around him. You know what church is about. You know what standards are about. You know what tithing is about. You know what singing is about. You know what Sunday school is about. But Paul said, I don't need to know Christian stuff. I need to know Christ, he said. Personal experience. Number two, painful endurance. And the fellowship of his sufferings. I want the power. I hear Christians say all the time, Pastor, you just don't understand. I hear you talking about how I should live, but I just can't do it. Maybe the reason why you can't enjoy the resurrection at the tomb is because you have not endured the pain of the cross. The fellowship of his sufferings. How can I have resurrection power in me? Give me that suffering. Have you ever asked God for the fellowship of his sufferings? No. We spend more time asking God to take suffering away. Come on, help me preach this morning. I know it's 7:18 in the morning. I'm going to finish about 10 minutes. But it's about time. If we want the goodness of the resurrection, we need the badness of the cross. Come on now. He said that I may know him. Oh yeah, everybody loves that part. And the power of his resurrection. And then we brush over those next words. And the fellowship of his sufferings. And the fellowship of his suffering. And the fellowship of his sufferings. You know why? Because we think fellowship is going down to Krispy Kreme. We think fellowship is going down to Andy's chicken wings. We think fellowship is going down to Wingstop. We think fellowship is getting together and playing some games. We think fellowship is playing spoons and ripping up each other's fingers. We think fellowship is what we're going to do in a few minutes in between sunrise and 11 o'clock service. And that is fellowship. But fellowship isn't always food. Fellowship isn't always fun. Fellowship is joint participation in something that two people have in common. He said, if I want to enjoy the power of the resurrection, I've got to enjoy the pain of the cross. What do you mean? Horrible agony. What do you mean? Hateful antagonism. What do you mean? Hurtful adversity. What do you mean? Humiliating aloneness. You want stones rolling away in your life? Go with him through the garden. You want prayers answered in your life? Endure the suffering. Amen. See, there is no crown without a cross. I'll tell you what's wrong with the average Christian. We want the smooth route. We want the easy road. We want the path of least resistance. We want a marriage that you don't have to work for. We want to raise kids and it be a breeze. We want to live in a wicked world and never be ridiculed. We want our family members to never question our faith. We want our friends to stand with us regardless of how dedicated we are with the Lord. We want to serve him without sacrifice. We want to pray without pain. We want to witness without having the door slammed in. Can I ask you, if he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him? If the man who created man was ridiculed by man, if the man who made earth walked on earth, if the man who made angels didn't let them save him, if the man who never did anything wrong went through humiliation, went through hate, went through all of that agony, why should you and I escape it? He said, I need a personal experience. I need painful endurance. And then lastly, I'm finished. I need practical execution. I want you to think about the logic of this. How can you rise from the dead if you never die? Well, I want resurrection power. Then you better learn how to die. I tell you why people don't have resurrection power. They don't need it. They haven't died yet. Now, I understand positionally we died with Christ. Paul said that's not enough for me. Notice the last phrase, another phrase we skim over. Being made conformable unto his death. Oh, boy, we shout. I want to know the power of his resurrection. Woo! Resurrection power. Woo! It's moving in this hour. Woo! That Jesus might bring glory. Oh, I love that resurrection power. Thank you, Jesus. All right. But what about that pain? What about that pain? See, if God's going to bring you from something, you got to go down into something. Then he said, being made conformable. He said, I want me to be conformed to his death. I want to die like he did. I'll never go to the cross. Nobody will ever die like he did on the cross. But every day I've got to die to self. My own desires. My own plans. My own will. My own dreams. My own goals. I want resurrection power. I got to learn how to die. What kind of death? Denounce sin. I've got to die to sin. Come on now. I said I've got to die to sin. Oh, everybody wants resurrection power. You got to denounce sin. Somebody say amen. You've got to dethrone self. Somebody say amen. You say, Pastor, how do I die? I get up every morning and I tell me that me's not in charge. I tell me that you don't run the show. I tell me it's not my will, but his will. I tell me you're not the boss. I tell me you don't live to please yourself. I tell me you don't do what you want to do. I tell me you don't run where you want to run. I tell me you don't say what you want to say. You don't think what you want to think. Why? You've been redeemed not with corruptible seed as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. What? Know you not your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, have of God, and you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are Christ. I must have denounced sin, dethroned self, and daily surrender. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Well, it's Easter time, huh? Resurrection. Let's get out the new songs. Come on. And pull out the new outfit. Why? He's alive. Let's get the regular church skippers up in here. I'm not talking bad about anybody, but let's just keep it real. Some folks are just Christers. Christmas and Easter. Because they hung up on a holiday instead of realizing that every day is a holy day. Let's give a big offering, and you know I'm for that. Let's advertise, let's have plays and dramas. And let's invite people and let's get out of school and let's put spring break around it. Why? Because over 2,000 years ago, he got up. Amen. And he didn't need a snooze button. Amen. He didn't need an alarm clock. He got up. Amen. But wait a minute. He did it and he's gone. I'm still here. And I gotta fight that devil and whip that flesh and live for him in that wicked world. I'm glad that the power that rocked the coffin shells that couldn't keep him down. Could they keep him in the grave? They could not. Why? Because he's the risen Savior. But I'm glad the resurrection power was not just a historical event for him. Resurrection power today is for me. Our Father, I wonder how many believers today would have to admit, I don't have the power. I want it, but I don't have it. I know he's alive. I know he rose. But what about me? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around. I wonder how many would say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. Would you raise your hand? I'm saved and I know it. Put your hand up. Now watch this now. Be honest. I need resurrection power in me. I want it in my life every day. Would you raise your hand? All over the building, my soul. Too many believers are living defeated lives. They're losing every day. Depressed, up and down. They say they get victory, and 3 days later, they're depressed again. We need some power. We don't need new outfits. We need power. Some of you just better get desperate to get that power in your marriage. Some of you men need that power in your mind. Well, it's not free. You got to know him. Personal experience, painful endurance, fellowship of his sufferings, and practical execution. You got to learn how to die. I wonder if there's anybody in here say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? I'm not sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I'm sure I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that? Let's stand together. All over the building, if God's spoken to your heart, why don't you pray? Some have come. You can pray where you are. Pray in your seat. God, I want that power. I don't just want to be a preacher. I want to preach with power. And if you think preachers only one need power, you must not be living. Father, honor your word. And may it change us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen.